Father God, I just want to come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know that I am not worthy. You know, Father God, that I have many flaws and sins. But Lord, with my flaws and my sins and my vices, Father God, I bring them to the altar of God. I bring them to you right now, Father God, asking that you hide me behind the cross. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take over and take charge and control my tongue and speak with thus saith the Lord from the holy word of God. Lord, we thank you. Give your name praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me to a very, 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 very familiar passage in Numbers. Very familiar. Numbers 13. When you have it, say amen. Today I want to speak from the thought of a time to overcome. A time to overcome. Raise your hand if you need to overcome some things in your life. Now, this is not a name what it is. I don't need to know your business, but the Holy Ghost already knows it. So long as the Holy Ghost knows your personal business, that's all that matters to me. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a vehicle to encourage each and every one of us that no matter what you're going through, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially, whatever it is that you're going through, there is a time for you to overcome it. And I want to encourage us today from the scriptures that you are overcomers in Christ and that you can overcome what has been beating you down. Some of us in here right now had to drag ourselves to church. Not because you don't love the Lord. It's because you're getting beat up and you're fatigued. You're tired of just holding on, but you press your way out anyway. A time to overcome. A time to overcome. There are 3 points I want to leave with us today. And this message is more about vision than it is about overcoming. So you may ask, then why would you name it a time to overcome? Because I want to assert today and submit today that the Christian who does not have a vision for his or her life cannot overcome. Your ability and capacity to overcome what comes into your life is based on your vision of your life. A man or woman who does not know where they're going could be led astray anywhere. Distractions, disappointments, setbacks, delays, denials, whatever you want to call it, these things are thrown at us on our journey of life from the cradle to the grave. You have a destiny. You have a destiny. Your destiny is born out of your vision. And today we're going to look at a group of people who God had given them a promise, but yet they never reached their destiny because they didn't link up to the vision. You should have Numbers 13 right now. The first point I want you guys to write down. Do you have something to write with? The first point is, if you want to overcome, you must have a clear vision for your life and your destiny. If you want to overcome life itself, the ups and downs, the turbulence, the ebbs and flows of life, You have to have a clear vision. A clear, say that with me, clear vision. Now, the word vision means to see. But I can't see until I first look. Looking and seeing are two different things. I can look at something but not see it. You ever had someone look you right in the face and you speak to them and they didn't speak to you? And they say, you know what? I honestly didn't see you. They weren't being cold. They weren't shirking you off. They were looking at you, but they didn't see you. You ever been somewhere where you look somewhere in a crowd and you see a particular face that has a certain level of significance to you and it stops you in your tracks and you acknowledge that person for being in the crowd? Because you're looking at everybody, but you see certain people. Are y'all walking with me today? When I can not only look to my future, but I can see my future, it keeps me from being beat down and stagnant when I go through the barriers of my life. It's not okay to be a Christian and not have a vision for your life. Just like every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, you should also have a vision for your life. Is anybody with me? Now, this vision has to be connected to your destiny. But a lot of times we use that word and don't know the definition of it. That's how we are as church folks. We'll say things and really not even know what it means. We don't know the significance of what we say. I want us to be a people where we just don't say something. We know why we say it, not just what we say. I have a definition of destiny. Destiny is an earthly place of blessing that was divinely ordained for you to manifest the glory of God. Let me say that again in case you want to take notes. Destiny is an earthly place of blessing that was divinely ordained for you to manifest the glory of God. It is not a true destiny if you cannot glorify God when you get there. The destiny for the children of Israel was the promised land. The promised land was not heaven. The promised land was a place on earth. See, let me explain something to us. Me and my dad was kind of talking. A lot of times he always said, we'll talk, and sometimes we lose track of time. We'll go back and forth and on different things. But you may get saved at 70, and God won't take you home till you're 110. So the question is, what do you do in the dash? Your destiny begins in the dash. Now, we all know our ultimate destination is heaven. But a lot of people use that as a crutch to not chase their destiny that's here. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Oh, when we all get to heaven, the earth is not our home. But God has called you to an earthly destiny where you are to glorify God, where you are to be a poster child for Jesus Christ, where you are to say, hey, I'm an example. You see me blessed? It's because of Jesus that I got here. It's because of Jesus that I overcame. It's because of Jesus that he blessed me this way. But I know this earth is not my home. But until he calls me, this is my destiny. But it's the beginning of my overall eternal destination. We go from 0 to 100. So everybody is so heavenly minded that they don't secure their destiny that God left them down here to get. I hope somebody's getting this. Is anybody, one person? When was the last time you prayed to God to show you your destiny? Only God can show you that. When was the last time you turned the TV off? You turned off YouTube. You got an old raggedy notebook and a pen, and you wrote down what you want to do in the next 20 years of your life. What do you want to be? You're looking, but you don't see nothing because you have no vision. God did not leave us down here just to survive until we go to heaven. He didn't leave us down here just to exist. I'm just holding on to God's unchanging hand. And the good Lord, oh, I can't wait to see Moses and Peter. But God is saying, guess what? What was Moses and Peter known for? Moses and Peter, they found their destiny down here before God took them home. I don't need a vision in heaven. Do I? Do I need a plan in heaven? Ecclesiastes says, whatsoever you do, do with all your might, for there's no planning beyond the grave where you are headed. Solomon was saying, look, if you're going to do something, you better make up your mind to do it because life is short. I'm sorry, it's short. It's short and it's short. So whoever I'm talking to, one of y'all got one of those explanations of it. So because life is short, there must be an urgency to know what my destiny is, to know what my vision is, and to go after it. Now, that sounds good. But every destiny has giants. Every destiny has giants. Y'all got the first point, right? Look at verse 17. We're still on the first point. Let me look at verse 1, then we'll go down to verse 17. So just listen. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send out for yourself men so they may spy out the land of Canaan. He did not say, send out your men so they could spy out heaven. He said, Canaan. Canaan is located on earth. We know we're going to heaven, but God is also giving you a Canaan. Y'all quiet today. Which I am going to give the sons of who? Verse 17, when Moses sent them to spy out the land of what? He said to them, go up there to the Negev, then go up into the hill country so that and see what the land is like. And whether the people who live there in it are strong or what? Whether they are what or what? How is the land in which they what? Is it or? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open what? Or? How is the land? Is it or? Are there trees in it or? Make and what? Make an what? Make a what? Guess what? If you want to find your destiny that God has for you, guess what? You can't be lazy. You got to put some work in. And you have to be intentional and you have to be strategic. You just can't say, I love the Lord and he got a blessing with my name on it. No, that is not biblical. You have to do some homework. You have to do some research. No qualified college confers a degree on whatever level you choose to any person without first fulfilling the requirements of that degree. As a matter of fact, when you graduate from college, it says this is partial fulfillment of the degree of whatever that degree may be. So there's some work you have to do when no one's looking. There's some work you have to do. There's some dinners you can't go to. There's some reunions you can't go to because your vision supersedes. So if you're going through life and you don't know where you want to end up, you don't know how you want things to plan out. You're going to be running in circles all your life because you never took the time to write down a vision. Is anybody with me? Case in point. What year are we in? Where are we sitting right now? New Berean Baptist Church? But where specifically are we sitting in right now? No, not the city. Where are we sitting right now? It's a sanctuary, right? Is this the original sanctuary that this church had? So I would dare to say that this sanctuary was a manifestation of Pastor's vision. He had to see this before he looked at how much it cost. That's all right. You don't have to get it. I needed that. He had to see this in detail, in HD, 1080p, before he looked at how much it was going to cost. Because sometimes if you look at something before you see it, you won't chase it. God Almighty. Let me say that again for the critics out there. If you look at something before you see it, you will never chase it. We are sitting in a manifestation of one man's brain. Oh, y'all not getting this. Y'all not getting this. I'd rather have a man with vision than a man with money. Money has limitations. Vision is built on imagination. Albert Einstein said, imagination lets us know the coming events of life's future attractions. In 2009 or 8, God gave Pastor a vision, which means to see, not to look. He had to see this. He couldn't just see a building permit. He had to see the chandelier. He couldn't see the footing of the building getting dug up. He had to see the screen that we're reading off today. See, what you see attracts you to what God has already put in you. Y'all will get this one day. Y'all wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. We didn't even get to the juicy part yet. I can't get off this point because I want all of us to be encouraged. I don't care how old you are, figure out what your vision is for your life. And guess what? No one can tell you what your vision is going to be. They can come close to it. They can say it got to be in this arena, but they can't tell you what the clear vision is going to be. God tells you that. Isn't that right, Sister Ricks? Y'all better write these notes down because I don't have these written down. But we spend a lot of our time looking at stuff and not moving. That's why the cliche says seeing is believing, not looking is believing. This is why God says taste and see, not taste and look. This is why, you caught that. Oh, let me keep going. This is why when Moses took the rod of God and stretched it over the Red Sea, God didn't say, look, he said, see the salvation of the Lord. There's a difference between looking at something and seeing it. And we have been robbed of vision. We believe what people told us for all these years, and we stop seeing God. We stop seeing his mighty hand. We stop seeing that he's the source. We stop seeing that he can do things. We stop seeing that he can heal. We stop seeing that he can do the unbelievable because we start looking too long. Stop looking at facts and start seeing the truth. Y'all not walking with me? Listen to this here. When you have a clear vision, you have to be strategic and you have to be intentional. Intentionality means that I put the effort in. I use this as an example because we all remember when this church didn't exist, this piece of it. Just to give y'all some back information. That's how my dad met Brother Dave, because of the vision. Oh, y'all got it. I only have enough time to put this timeline together. I'm going to give you a truncated version of the timeline. There was a railroad track that used to run behind this church. It just so happened Anthony Lawhorn was in Florida. Anthony Lawhorn, while he was on some other business, took care of God's business in Jacksonville, Florida, to help get that railroad track lifted up so we could build. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Vision is so powerful that stuff will start moving out of the way for you. When you start to see what God can do, stuff that was like a railroad track, nailed into the ground with 9-inch spikes, will be lifted and get out of your way. But the vision has to be connected to God now. Let's move on. Is it making any sense? Young people, don't tell me you want to be an honor roll student if you're not considering the cost of doing your homework. Don't tell me you want to go to this particular college or this particular branch of the military, or you want to be an entrepreneur, own your own business, if you're not willing to stay up some nights and just go to school without going to sleep. It takes effort. No one's going to give you anything. God said the promises, he promised it to the children of Israel, but he didn't give it to them. Catch this. Just because something is promised to you doesn't mean it's going to be given to you. You have to go and receive it based on the promise. Is anybody with me? Let's look a little bit further. I want to mention two specific people who, you know what? I'm going ahead of myself. Let's get to the second point. Y'all ready for the second point? What was the first point? Whatever y'all just said. All right, before we get to the second point, I want to show you something. Habakkuk chapter 2. And I probably can't find it with my left hand because Habakkuk is one of those books that's in between books we don't normally look at. Nahum, Habakkuk was before Nahum. I got it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got it. If I didn't have it, Steve had it anyway. This is how I know what I'm talking about. If you don't learn anything from this sermon today, this week, get a pen or a pencil, whatever your preference, and a piece of paper or a napkin, and write down your 5-year, 10-year vision. This week, I want you to work on that. There's power in writing things down. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2. 1-5 says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he, talking about God, will speak to me. I will keep watch and what? See what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. This is the part I want you to hit, listen to. Then the Lord answered me and said, write or record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Now, we don't have tablets today, but we have tablets today. Okay. Y'all got that, didn't you? Okay. Inscribe it on tablets. That the one who what? Reads it may run. Many of us are running through life and don't know where we're going. Because there's no time in our timeline where we wrote down where we're going. I can't present my vision to God if I didn't first write it down. I can't pray over a vision if I don't know what it says. It's not okay just to sit in church Sunday after Sunday and your life has not been enhanced. It's not okay. I'm going to go as far as say that's a bad testimony. If you're not getting better every year in some area of your life, and I'm not just talking about how many Bible verses you know. It's not a good testimony. You're comfortable. You're not growing. Your mind is not expanding. You're not reading more books. But we can talk about TV shows, but we can't talk about the last book we read. It's not okay, particularly in the black church, not to be readers. Readers are what? Are y'all with me? Kids about to go to school. Research shows that kids do what they see their parents do. And they rank what's important based on the value system of their parents. So if I always see my parent looking at TV all the time, looking at the football game all the time, and I never see them crack open a book, then I'm automatically, vicariously through them, are going to devalue reading books. So then when I become a grown-up and I get a job and I buy a car, there's a thick 200-page manual that comes with the car. So being that I don't value reading because that's what my parents modeled to me in my house growing up, guess what? When something breaks down on my car, I'm not going to think about looking at the manual that came with it. So when I go to the mechanic of the manufacturer of that car, and he tells me, hey, we can do this for $1,200 if we can get you out the door. I don't have $1,200. But then you find out in the manual, something that cost $200 was the only thing causing this $1,200 lie that you just got. Guess what? You had just been made a fool out of because you don't value the importance of reading and literacy. Give me some Bible on it. Study to show yourself approved. Unto who? A God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is a universal statement. Study means study everything, not just the Bible. I know. You didn't come to church to hear that. Didn't come to church to hear that I need to read more books a month. Didn't come to church to hear that. You wanted to hear that we all going to heaven one day. Even though God gonna leave me here for 40 more years, it's not about trying to better myself down here. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. That's what you came to hear. When you don't have vision, that's what you come to hear. But today, we're going to learn about vision. Amen? Vision will be tested. It will be criticized. It will be cursed. It will be questioned. It will be ridiculed and attacked. Prepare for that. It's not going anywhere. Just because you wrote it down and made it plain according to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, just because you've given it to the Lord, still does not negate the fact that it's going to be attacked. It's going to be attacked. So expect it. Don't get all bent out of shape when somebody says something you don't agree with about your vision. Just say, okay, God is, amen. That's how you feel about it. That's your opinion. Praise the Lord. I still love you, but I know what my vision is. Are you with me? Second point. I'm going to set some people free with this one. Know where you originally came from so that you can know where you are actually going. Let me say that again. Know where you originally came from so you can get to where you are actually going. Oh, I'm going to make it real clear, real quickly. I promise you. Let's look at this here in verse 13. We see Moses gave the command on what they're to do with the land, right? Let's look at verse 25. It says, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. Let the church say wilderness. Okay. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. And it certainly, let the church say certainly. It certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. However, or nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land too, in the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are all living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. So what's happening here? They saw the land. They saw the fruit of the land, brought back fruit to show, yeah, this is a legit situation. But we can't do it. We can't do it. Now, hold your finger there, and I'm going to read two names of people in the first part of that chapter. I'm going up to verse 6. Verse 6, it says, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, let the church say Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim, let the church say Ephraim, Hashua, his name was changed to Joshua later, the son of Nun. These are two people I want y'all to focus on, Caleb and Hashua. Now, it's important to know what these names mean. In the Hebrew, Caleb means fully faithful. Fully faithful or wholeheartedly. Y'all got that? That's what Caleb means. Hashua or Joshua means Jehovah saves. Now, if you know your history, they were the only two that actually got into the promised land. They were the only two that got to their destiny. So if you want to get to your destiny, the first thing is you got to have vision. You got to see it before you look at it. But then you have to be wholeheartedly committed to it, Caleb. And when you're wholeheartedly committed to the vision God gave you, Jehovah will save you. Jehovah will keep you. He will preserve you. He will keep you when you're in the dark days of the wilderness. Anybody get that? Catch this. Some of y'all saying, yeah, that sounds good, but explain what you mean by know where you originally come from so that I can actually get where I'm going. Well, we know that Caleb said, we are more than able. We don't care about no giants or no Amorites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites. We can get it today. What made Caleb and Joshua that bold? You know what made them that bold? They knew where they originally came from. Where you come from limits God's hand, or it releases God's hand. I did not come from Leroy and Vanessa Ricks. I came from God by way of Leroy and Vanessa Ricks. God. Life comes from God. I came from the loins. I came through the loins of Leroy Ricks, but I was not created by Leroy Ricks. God created me, deposited me inside of Leroy Ricks, and Vanessa Ricks carried me for 9 months, and on November 19th, 1976, I was brought into this world. Now, I have great parents. Everybody don't come from good parents. If you focus so much on who you came through and not where you came from, it would... Gosh, man. Gosh, almighty. If your mother was a crackhead, don't measure your life as an adult based on who you came through. She carried you. She didn't create you. We limit ourselves in the here and now because we keep heavily relying on who we came through, Sister Joan. So if mama was an alcoholic, if mama was a streetwalker, if mama had a third grade education, then you start to adapt a false perception of yourself in adulthood and say, oh, I couldn't read because my mama couldn't read. I can't go to college because nobody in my family went to college. But when you know where you originally came from, it evens out the playing field. So it doesn't matter if I'm black. It doesn't matter if I'm white. I originally came from God. Now, we preach Jesus so you can go back to God who you came from. Because just because you came from God don't mean you're going back to him. I hope I'm helping somebody in here today. Some of us have been held hostage because of our last name. That name has limitation. That name may have some dirt on it. That name may have some foolishness attached with it. But when you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm a new creature. I'm more than a conqueror because I know where I originally come from. Call me what you want. Talk about me as much as you please. You're not going to destroy my confidence. You're not going to destroy my abilities. You're not going to destroy my capability. You're not going to take away my capacity. It doesn't matter if I was born in the back of a hotel. It doesn't matter if I was born in the back of a grocery store. It doesn't matter if I was born in a bootlegger house. I know I came through that person, not from that person. Y'all not walking with me. How many people have died, never reaching their earthly destiny through God's help because they were too focused on who their mother was or who their father was. And I didn't have a mother or a father. My grandmama raised me. The Bible says when my mother and father forsake me, he will lift me up. God predates your parents. Well, I'm a product of rape. I hate my father. He raped my mother. I didn't come from him. I came through him. So I have a purpose, even though I have a painful production. This freed me up. Stop looking at your parents. Stop looking at what they didn't do or didn't accomplish. What did God put in you to do? That's why he could take somebody from a messed up family, man. A family where everybody go to jail, everybody drunk, everybody mentally ill, everybody in drugs. But he picked one. And when you look at them now, it's almost like, that's your family? No, there's no way you came out of that. I didn't come out of that. I came through that. I came through it. Your parents did not create you. They carried you. So from this day forward, do not, in the name of Jesus, use an excuse of why you can't be all you can be because of who your ancestors were. Did you get it now? Let's go to the third point. If you're with me, say amen. God's not going to remove the giants because you see the promised land. But when you know you originally came from him, you know he's greater than the giant. See, this is why David, as a shepherd boy at 17 years old, the Bible describes him as red and ruddy. He was a slim young man, very agile, but small featured. The Goliath was 9'9". He was a warrior. He was a killer. And David wasn't even in the army. He was actually taking some bread, cheese, and milk to his brothers. And he overheard a conversation that Goliath says, send a man out here that's going to fight me. And David says, this uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you taunt the armies of Jesse? Did he say that? He said, how dare you taunt the armies of God? Let me tell us something. Let me set us free in here right now. The giants in your life want you to keep relying on who you came through and not who you came from. Once you make that small tweak in your level of understanding and self-perception, you could be the only person in the room and still be like a lion amongst sheep. Your attitude would change. Your boldness would change. You would believe that you could do so much more than what you've been doing because you finally get it. You finally made the connection that I came from God. I am a child of God. John 1 says, to them who believe on him, to them he gave them the authority or power to become the children of God. Not the child of Wilbur Jones. Not the child of Leroy Ricks. Not the child of Gene Parker. No, he said the child of God. When I know I come from God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What you say about me, it's going to start rolling off of me. It's not going to stick and cut and dig and twist in me like it used to. If I come from the projects, I came through the projects. I didn't come from Lincoln Park. I may have come through Lincoln Park. I didn't come from Tidewater Park. I came through Tidewater Park. I didn't come from Berkeley. I came through Berkeley. I didn't come from Broadline. I came through Broadline. I didn't come from J-Dub. I came through J-Dub. I didn't come from Atababa. I came through Atababa. I didn't come from Chicago. I came through Gabrina Greens in Chicago. Are you with me? The devil holds us hostage when we don't know where we originally come from. Are you still with me? Last point. My last and final point. Now when God gave them this mission to go check out the promised land, where were they currently located? In the wilderness. Okay. In the wilderness, there's a lot of uncertainty, isn't it? You're hearing dogs and wolves bark at night, and you don't know if somebody's going to kill you or what. It's all kind of stuff. Don't you know when you're on your way to your promised land, you have to go through a wilderness? It's not an if, it's not a might, you have to. That's a part of the journey. So this brings us to our last point. Are y'all ready for the last point? Believe in the dark what you were taught in the light. Believe in the dark what you were taught in the light. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you you're not going to have any dark days. If I preach that when you love the Lord, you're not going to have any dark days, I'm turning in my preacher's license. Because that's a bold-faced lie. As a matter of fact, the Bible says those who live godly shall suffer persecution. Jesus also said in this world you will have trouble. So if I tell you living for the Lord means you're not going to have no dark days, I'm going to turn my preaching license in. Because that's heresy if I say that. But I will say this. You have to hold on to what you were taught in the light of your life, in the dark of your life. Because this is the thing. When you're going through, you got to call on the things God did for you already. You got to call on those blessings and miracles he done back when to get you to the down the street and down the road. See, sometimes God will purposely take you through 7 years of drought. Y'all remember Joseph? Joseph was a dreamer. He was in prison for over 12 years. There was a cupbearer and there was a baker. Both of those brothers had dreams. Unfortunately for the baker, his dream was not what he wanted it to be. Because he dreamed that he had a basket of bread on his head and birds came to pick up the bread from the basket. So, three birds, actually. And he said, Joseph, give me a little something on this. He shouldn't have asked that question. He said, in 3 days, your head going to be lifted off your head, your body. And in 3 days, that dream came true. So the cupbearer's like, okay. Okay, this guy's, he's the real deal. So he had a dream that he was restored. And then Joseph said to him, in a certain amount of days, you're going to get your old position back with Pharaoh. But this is what I like what Joseph said. He said, remember me. You don't say that if you're already in the light. Y'all not getting this. You don't make that comment if everything's going well with you. Remember me, please. You make that comment based on faith. If he didn't have hope that God could get him out of that prison, he wouldn't have made the comment of remember me. But at the same time, he had to hold on to what he learned in the light. So when he was in the prison of his life, when God was not answering his prayer, when God was not close to him as he thought he was, the Bible said the Lord was with him. But the Bible never said God told Joseph that he was with him. That's for us to know. Let me tell us something, man. You're going to have some dark days. You're going to have some days when you don't have enough money to pay your bills. You're going to have some days where you got to work out some payment plans, and that's still not enough. And it's not going to last one or two or even 30 days. It may last for a few years like that. But you still have to hold on to what you learned when everything was running smooth. So when things not running at all, you don't run away. Y'all didn't catch that either. Let me say this again. When things are not running at all, I have to reflect on when things were running smooth so I won't run away. So if people are running away from God because they are in a dark season of their life, it's because they're not constantly reflecting or meditating on when things were running smooth. Now that things are not running at all, they look at the not running at all as all there is. But the hand of God is never slack concerning his promises to those who he loves. So just because you're in the wilderness of your life, just because you're in a dark place in your life, just because you're fighting a little depression, a little anxiety in your life, don't run away from God. Just run with him and run your memory back on when things were good and see that it was God the whole time that could take your pain and turn it into prosperity. Joseph told the Pharaoh this. The Pharaoh said, hey, man, I had a nightmare. In my first nightmare, there were 7 ears of corn. And those 7 ears of corn were beautiful, fat, and lush. But then 7 more diseased-looking corn that looked like it was picked through came up and devoured the 7 good ears of corn. Then he said I had another nightmare right after that. There were some cows that came up out of the Nile River. 7 healthy cows came out, grazing on the side. But then 7 diseased, mad cow disease cows and malnourished cows where the ribs are showing, they came and they actually ate the fat cows. What does that mean? Because I can't sleep. Joseph said this. He said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty. Nothing's going to be behind. Matter of fact, you're going to have a little extra. He said, but then you're going to have immediately after that, 7 years of famine. He said, while you have plenty, store up. We call that the Joseph principle. You store up. But see, that principle can be applied not just to financial things, but it can be applied to mental health areas. See, there are going to be some times where you may get hit with depression. You may get hit with anxiety. You may get hit with anger and rage. But you got to store up when things were going well with the Lord to balance out your anger and rage that you have now. Many of us are just living life day by day, just wandering through life, not knowing where we're going. But when we get hit in the dark, we got to hold on to what we learned to in the light. Light has the idea of enlightenment, illumination. When you read a text in the scripture, the Holy Spirit will illuminate. Illuminate has the idea of turning on a brighter light source to show you something that's always been in the dark. Are you with me? We're going to finish out with the last 3 verses. Let's see what Caleb said. Then Caleb, which means wholeheartedly and faithful, quieted the people before Moses and said, we should all go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. He said we might overcome it. He said we're going to get them in overtime. He didn't say we got to do an onside kick that hopefully somebody won't jump on it. He said it's going to be a rout. We're not just going to fight these guys and giants. We're going to rout them. Landslide. For we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave in to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people whom we saw in it are men of what? Great stature, great size. There are also Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. Last point I want to leave with us. You teach people how to treat you. Y'all better get this. It's my exit ticket. Let me say this again. You teach people how to treat you. If you don't love yourself, you give permission for people to hate you. If you don't respect yourself, you're going to constantly be disrespected by everybody else. You teach people how to treat you. How you view yourself. If you always view yourself as weak, if you always view yourself as insubordinate, if you always view yourself as subordinate or inferior, guess what? People gonna automatically treat you the way you view yourself. You give off a hidden frequency. Hey, abuse me, talk to me any kind of way, disrespect me. Caleb said, no. I know where I come from. I come from God. So we able to take it? Surely we can take it. Because my power is not through who my earthly father was. It's through who my heavenly father is. Y'all didn't catch that one either. What promised lands did God put in your heart before you die? Or are you just waiting for God's glory train to pick you up and take you to heaven? Which one? Now the choice is yours. You can decide to say, I'm just going to come to church until I just drop dead and never accomplish nothing and leave nothing for my children's children. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now I can't leave an inheritance if I don't put no work in. I can't leave an inheritance if I have not conquered an earthly destiny that was divinely ordained by God to glorify his name. But the Bible says a good man does that. So if a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, if I don't leave an inheritance for my children's children, I can't be called good too. Because he qualified with what a good man looks like. All I'm trying to say, saints, is this. Write down your vision for your life. I don't care if you're 75 years old. If God got you, have you breathing? You have a vision that you need to conquer before it's too late. Don't just sit in the pews and wait for God's glory train. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you.